Hello, this is Atah Durakan with the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020, coming to you from my home studio. And we start with an interesting story on the front page from Local History. Six-decade sandwich. Sullivan native preserves sandwich obtained from Nixon. This article is by Rob Stroud, Sullivan. Call it a 60-year Sullivan sandwich story. Tuesday marks the anniversary of Richard Nixon visiting Sullivan for a cookout and campaign speech. The vice president left his mark. The buffalo barbecue sandwich that Nixon left on his plate on September 22, 1960, became an enduring historical curiosity after Boy Scout Steve Jenny of Sullivan took it home with him. Jenny has kept the sandwich frozen ever since then, an act that earned him an invitation to appear on a 1988 episode of The Tonight Show with television legend Johnny Carson. Jenny, who now resides in Springfield, has been commemorating the 60th anniversary of Nixon visiting Sullivan and leaving behind that chicken sandwich, a story told in The Sandwich That Changed My Life, a new book written by Jenny with help from former Sullivan resident Scott England. In 1960, Jenny was 14 years old when his Boy Scout troop was asked to serve as an honor guard for Nixon during a cookout arranged by area Republican political leaders. Nixon flew into the Decatur airport and rode to Sullivan in a convoy on a route that was lined with spectators. Nixon's appearance in Sullivan drew thousands to Wyman Park for what became a scene of organized chaos as many crowded close to the vice president during an era when security was less restrictive, Jenny said. The Boy Scouts stood on post behind Nixon and his wife, Pat, at the picnic pavilion until the couple left so that the visiting politician could deliver his speech. Jenny said he then noticed that Nixon had left a sandwich with a few bites taken out of it on his paper plate. I looked around and thought, if no one else is going to take it, I'm going to take it, Jenny said. After riding his bicycle home, Jenny said he presented his souvenir to his perplexed mother and asked her to preserve it. Jenny said she placed the sandwich in a glass jar in the freezer. Jenny said the frozen sandwich later relocated with his family from Sullivan to Springfield. Jenny said he took custody of the sandwich years later after he moved out and settled down in a permanent home of his own. Jenny said word about his Nixon-related sandwich spread over time in the area and ultimately drew the attention of the Decatur Herald and Review in 1988. Vicki Shaw Woodard, who was a reporter in the Mattoon Bureau at the time, was assigned to write a feature story about the sandwich. That's how the story hit the newspaper wire services. Once it hit the wire services, it went all around the world, Jenny said. The tale of the frozen Nixon sandwich eventually was told in a USA Today article that ended up drawing an invitation from The Tonight Show, Jenny said. He carefully packaged his slightly shrunken souvenir in a carry-on freezer bag for the flight to California and a trip to Carson's studio in Burbank. Jenny said he was happy to shake hands with the well-dressed talk show host and to share the stage that night with comedy great Steve Martin. He said Martin performed an impromptu gag when he brought out a paper plate signed with a message saying that the comedian had eaten a chicken salad sandwich off this plate before his performance bombed on The Tonight Show. Jenny ended up receiving this plate plus a half-eaten snack from Carson for what would become a growing collection. The Sullivan native said the notoriety he gained from the Nixon sandwich eventually led to him receiving souvenir sandwiches from Tiny Tim and Henny Youngman during performances by these entertainers in the region, plus an appearance on the rebooted I've Got a Secret game show in the 2000s. Jenny said he never intended to have notoriety or a collection of frozen food from celebrities, but has enjoyed the opportunity that this has presented. Jenny said he hopes his story will now bring renewed attention to the Nixon visit plaque at Wyman Park in Sullivan, adding that he plans to continue taking care of the souvenir he gained that day. As long as I'm living, that sandwich will be stored in my freezer in a container that is labeled Save, Don't Throw Away, Jenny said. And some photos that accompany the article here. There's a picture of Steve Jenny seated at his table in his yard here with a radio flyer wagon in the background. And he's leaning on the glass table, holding the glass jar, looking at the sandwich contents inside. Let's look at the other photo, the main one. Steve Jenny holds a jar containing a sandwich eaten by Vice President Richard Nixon during a visit to Sullivan in 1960. Jenny's relic was featured on The Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. And so it's a very small jar, and probably the sandwich has gotten smaller over the years, and you can see a Ziploc bag inside, but not much of the sandwich. Well, okay then, we move on. Illini basketball, a 5.2-mile walk with Underwood. Illini coach's physical renaissance matches that of his team. This article is by Joey Wagner. A little after 10:15 a.m. on Thursday, Illinois men's basketball head coach Brad Underwood walked out of the Ubben Basketball Complex for his daily walk. He wore a blue shirt, orange shorts, and had one headphone hanging out of his right ear. He still rocks the wires on his earbuds. This isn't some kind of quick stroll around the block to blow steam. These walks come with a purpose and have been a staple of his new lifestyle since COVID-19 paused the sports world. The trip was a 5.2-mile walk around the stretch of Champaign. Before he was allowed back in the practice facility, the venue for these walks was around his neighborhood and came with honks, waves, photo and video requests for the coach who helped restore the basketball program. Eventually, he began carrying a mask to be safe if approached. This route was less houses and more farmland, with the sound of traffic humming to his right and the smell of manure from... Well, let's see. Where does this lead to? Well... Bear with me just a moment. It just kind of ended with no... It doesn't tell us where this picks up. I'm going to pause for a moment and go find the rest of this story. Okay, located on page A5. Manure from the research farm. Scenery with a stench. On this walk, I tagged along. We crossed St. Mary's Road after leaving the practice facility and headed down a street that was hardly paved. And certainly didn't have a lane line. A UPS truck approached us head-on before slowing to a near stop. Maybe they want to wave or take a photo with Brad, I thought to myself. Perfectly reasonable request, given the buzz around the program. Nope, we were just in his way. Immediately, the question came to mind, why do you do this? Underwood has always focused on his health, but a knee surgery 2 years ago, combined with the nonstop schedule of a basketball coach, made it easy to lose track. Early on in the shutdown, his oldest daughter, Katie, pointed out a photo of Underwood doing an interview with sideline reporter Olivia Harlan Decker and informed him that it wasn't his most flattering shot. In fact, she said he had three chins in the interview. Motivation enough, he's eating better and walking sometimes two walks a day with his goal of 20,000 steps a day. He's lost more than 30 pounds and hopes to be at 220 pounds, though he says the pounds are falling off slower now than months ago. I've definitely felt the health benefits of sleeping better, feeling sore is a sign you've done something that's got a little purpose to it, Underwood said. We've got a real tendency as coaches that we watch so much film and we get so ingrained and focused that you can't let your energy run down. You're chasing 18 to 22-year-olds all day when you go to practice. You don't want that groggy, tired feeling. This wasn't time with Brad Underwood, the Big Ten basketball coach who just got off a conference call with other coaches in the league as they tried to figure out the next path forward for the upcoming season. This was Brad Underwood, the father, who has spent more time at home with his family in the shutdown than maybe ever in his life. Family dinners and walks with his wife and kids were a staple. A few days before this particular walk, he just moved Ashley to Miami of Ohio for school. That was tough. Back to the walk. He uses these hours to catch up on podcasts. He takes recruiting calls and jumps on Zoom interviews. Of course, the first few interviews, he had to explain why he was outside, surrounded by corn, or why the traffic of Windsor Road was humming along in the background. When the weather changes and the schedule picks up, he'll have to find a new routine. That will happen. He feels guilty when he doesn't get his walk in or eat something he knows he shouldn't. Anyway, here's Windsor Road. Boy, is this loud. No wonder the sounds are so easy to pick up on a Zoom or phone calls. We get into talking about his son, Tyler Underwood, who has been with him every step of the way, from Stephen F. Austin to Oklahoma State to Illinois. Perhaps one day Tyler will get into the coaching world, but he's got another year in Champaign for his sixth season of eligibility as he pursues his second master's degree. Plus, he knows he might be on the cusp of seeing the fruits of the last 3 years. Did they watch a lot of basketball during the shutdown? Silly question, of course. EuroLeague, NBA, game film, a lot of hoops talk in the Underwood house. We talk some NBA and the bubble, but still haven't gotten to his own team that's in the neighborhood of the center of the college basketball world. In my mind, I think I'm running out of time. Not even close. His phone rings. Recorder off, and I step back. It's Frank Martin, a close friend who is the head coach at South Carolina. All college basketball coaches are trying to figure out the best way to move forward, and that likely was the focus of this particular talk. An opportunity to make a left back to Ubbin exists. Are we turning here? My feet sure could use it. Nope. Oh no, I thought. Do people think I'm tailing Brad Underwood? Is there a security team on the way? Thankfully, no. Call ended and Underwood slows up to resume our conversation. Now we talk basketball, the schedule, the team, the climb to the heart of the national relevance. This is where Underwood describes the climb to where the program is, the grueling losses and hours taken to reach this point. Illinois, as he likes to point out, is the 11th ranked program all time in college basketball. Now it feels like these Illini are back to that point. That's where it should be, Underwood said. Yet, we didn't get to play in the NCAA tournament. We didn't get to win the Big Ten tournament. We didn't get to make that run, that push. Yet, it's a heck of a lot better to have people talk about you than not talk about you because you're grinding through that. I'll never forget the grind. We had to help us get here. I have appreciation for that, and I don't want our guys to ever forget that. I need our veterans reminding our new guys what we're about. It's a good deal to have people talking about you in a positive light, especially in this league, which was the best league in the country last year and will be again this year. We hang a left on First Street, headed back to the, in the general direction of Ubbin. There's that smell of manure again, that source being the Illinois Applied Research Institution. With that is another opportunity for yet one more left, a shortcut back to the finish line. We pass it. My feet are in incredible pain as the blisters of shame begin to form. He's unfazed. Frankly, I have no idea where our left off of First Street or how we even get back to the cornfields that flanked us as we approach St. Mary's Road again. A car passes us and the driver waves. Finally, someone seems to recognize Underwood. As we approach Ubbin, again, he checks his phone and realizes the distance of 5.2 miles or more than 11,000 steps. Not bad for a morning walk. He had another one later that night. Such is the cycle. All right, and let's get back to the main first page here with the photo. Illinois men's basketball coach Brad Underwood left, and Herald and Review Illinois beat writer Joey Wagner, right, began their walk of more than 5 miles on Thursday morning. And they're just walking 6 feet apart, side by side. A little farm implement off to Underwood's right. He's in his blue Illinois shirt, orange shorts, blue shoes. As mentioned in the article, his one earbud hanging in his right ear. And Joey Wagner in his red shirt, gray shorts, blue shoes. With his mask on, conducting the interview. Well, all right, we're moving on. And we move on to page A2, the local section. Man pounded woman's head, police say. Garrett Karsten, Decatur. Preliminary criminal charges have been filed against a Decatur man who police say got violent with the mother of his child. The woman was picking up their son in the 1600 block of North 32nd Street on August 26th when the man grabbed her head, shoved her down, and started pounding her head into the floor, police said in a court document. According to police, the woman hit her head on the floor more than a dozen times. The man, 27, also grabbed her by the wrist and slammed her into a kitchen sink several times, police said. He was booked into Macon County Jail Friday evening on a preliminary misdemeanor charge of domestic battery, which is subject to review by the state attorney's office. A check of jail records Monday afternoon showed he was held on $50,000 bail, meaning $5,000 is required for release on bond. Macon County Sheriff or Circuit Clerk records show the man has a prior conviction for aggravated domestic battery. Meridianland's $10,000 ag grant. This article is by Valerie Wells, Macon. Meridian High School agriculture teacher Jerry Brockett has been awarded a $10,000 grant from the Illinois Agricultural Association. Only four such grants are awarded annually by the Illinois Farm Bureau. Two ag education majors who have become teachers as an incentive program. Recipients have considerable leeway in how the grant is used, as long as it benefits the ag program in some way, and that would include the school's FFA program. Meridian principal Eric Hurlbrink said, however, Brockett spends it, whether on classmate materials or the FFA program, students will benefit. And there's a great photo here. In the background, it says Future Site of Ag Tech Building. And several students, parents, and the check recipients here. Meridian High School ag teacher receives a $10,000 grant from the Illinois Agricultural Association. It's like a big oversized check there. All right, continuing on local and state, page A3, city government. Council okays police body cams. Decatur budget outlook somewhat improved. Valerie Wells, Decatur. The Decatur City Council on Monday approved a change to the purchase of body cameras for Decatur police officers. The original agreement was to spend $309,200 for body cameras, high-definition in-car cameras, and associated equipment. Additional needs include wireless microphone transmitters that communicate the audio of officers and citizens back to the in-car cameras, software to process the anticipated increase in Freedom of Information Act requests because of the body cameras, a computer workstation, and server for the new software, and consulting fees from Panasonic, the supplier, on installation and setup of the equipment. The new total will be $321,281, an additional $12,061. The original plan was approved in December, said City Manager Scott Wrighton, which is why the change required council approval. Police Chief Jim Getz had requested the additional components. I agree with him. These are component parts that need to add to make the cameras fully functional, Wrighton said. The council also approved the purchase of a citizen service module to allow residents to conduct city business online rather than have to visit city offices in person in light of coronavirus considerations. The cost of $23,290 will be paid by the State of Illinois Coronavirus Urgent Remediation Emergency Support Program. This is something simple to enable us to do more interaction with citizens in an online manner, Wrighton said. It's safer than having to come in and safer than dropping payments in the box outside the Civic Center. In other business, the council approved the installation of protective barriers around the drivers of city buses to mitigate exposure to COVID-19 at a cost of $113,734, which will be covered by the CARES Act. Several risk management insurance policies were also updated on Monday due to the rising cost of such insurance in light of increasing unrest in urban areas. Weather related costs and the West Coast fires insurance carriers have raised prices and decreased coverage. The city was able to reduce the cost of insurance by shifting from a self-insured model to a pool insurance arrangement, saving about $300,000. By moving to the pool arrangement, the city not only saves money, but has increased coverage, Wrighton said. The crisis coverage, for example, would pay for cleanup should the city experience events like the riots in other cities, or if counselors were needed after a tragedy. You've saved the city $300,000 in increased coverage, and that's a good thing, said Councilman David Horn. The city's rainy day fund, or the reserve account, now has enough money in it for 50 days as opposed to the 40 days reserve that was in the account last month, Wrighton said. That is due to higher revenues than predicted, though the budget will still have a shortfall this year of about $4.5 million due to COVID-19. We still face major challenges, but based on the information we had last month compared to this month, it's not quite as bad, he said. Police report man charged in stabbing Garrett Karsten Decatur. A Decatur resident who police say stabbed a man in the head and chest was released on bond Monday. Police and court documents said the 20-year-old suspect was contacted by his sister after her ex-boyfriend wouldn't leave an apartment in the 800 block of West Wood Street on Friday evening. Police said that the suspect hit the victim in the face. The man was also hit with closed fists in the chest and head by his ex-girlfriend and the suspect's girlfriend, police said. The 20-year-old took a knife from the kitchen and stabbed the victim in the left side of his chest and head, documents said. Police reported the victim to have a laceration on his left rib cage and temple, along with scratches on his body, arms, and hands. The suspect was booked into Macon County Jail Saturday morning, on a preliminary charge of aggravated battery with a deadly weapon. Jail records also showed the man's sister, 26, from Warrensburg, was arrested and booked Saturday morning on preliminary charges of domestic battery and mob action. She's been released on $500 bond, settling initial bail of $5,000. Preliminary charges are subject to review by the state attorney's office. Together Decatur, remembering the holidays, Decatur area sewing effort helps military members overseas. Donette Beckett, Decatur. It's time to begin thinking about holidays. For a certain band of Decatur ladies, they are starting a little late. A group of about six women have been meeting for more than 10 years, making Christmas stockings. They meet only once a year to accomplish the task of creating more than 130 stockings. Normally, we do it in July just to have them done and out of the way, said Virginia Franklin, so there's no rush. The holiday decorations and other donations will be packaged and sent through Operation Enduring Support to military members currently deployed. 10 years ago, Dorothy Seabock and Ari Anderson were part of a sewing team bringing the hobby to youth at the Grace United Methodist Church, or the GUM program. The project closed for the students, but the adults wanted to keep sewing. Franklin began sewing with the group only 4 years ago. The group often met at her home with their sewing machines in tow. We just sew here, she said, and it's just regular Christmas material. Other sewers have joined the group. They've been dragging me along wherever they want, said president of the Decatur Quilters Guild, Mary Traxler. During the 2020 sewing event last week, Bloomington area sewer Karen Goloff attended the meeting. Operation Enduring Support is just a Decatur thing, she said. OES volunteers collect the Christmas stockings and other donations and prepare them for delivery. The local organization was established 17 years ago by Decatur residents Betty and David Gallmer. Ann Irwin has been the director since 2013. According to Irwin, each box weighs approximately 10 pounds. OES volunteers make sure the soldiers receive everything on the 27-item list. We take inventory every week, she said. If we don't have enough donated, then we go out and buy the rest so that we have those in every package. care packages, which includes items such as hand warmers, razors, beef jerky, and instant coffee, are sent to service members approximately twice a year. In the Easter packages, Girl Scout cookies are a special treat. The Christmas stockings are filled with candy canes. After the service personnel open his or her box, they find an American flag, a letter from OES, then the Christmas stocking. The care packages are sent to deployed service members on December 7th. The stockings are a special addition to the package, according to Irwin. They are something from home, and they represent Christmas, she said. They can hang up in their tents. We've seen pictures of some of them having them hung up on the front of their Jeeps. Another popular item in the care packages is the 1990s collector's item Beanie Babies. Irwin often sees the small toys in the service members' pictures. They give them to the children, Irwin said. The organization has also sent boxes of Halloween candy collected during the candy buyback program partnered with Jurgers Pediatric Dentistry. The boxes are sent to individual soldiers so he can share with his unit, Irwin said. OES relies on donations of items and money to create the care packages. Each box costs $19.65 to be sent overseas. Each mailing includes more than 100 boxes. A few of the soldiers have sent OES volunteers letters with messages such as, "Knowing that our communities back home are looking out for us means the world," or, "I shared a lot of it with my fellow Marines that did not get a Christmas either." Donations or submissions of a military member's name can be sent to the OES agency. Donations may be delivered to Grace UMC until November 19th. The volunteers also have a sense of pride while preparing the care packages and what goes in them. They know the people at home are thinking of them, Anderson said. It's appreciated. And there's a really great large photo here of Karen Goloff preparing stockings recently. And the caption reads, Operation Enduring Support provides gifts to overseas military members. And Karen is ironing, a stack of stockings. And in the background, there's a panda bear with a Christmas hat on. So it looks like she's fully in holiday spirit here, getting the items ready for the packaging. And there's a little sidebar here, hashtag Together Decatur. Do you know a person or of a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur? Contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983 or dbeckett@herald-review.com. Well, that brings us to the end of the first half hour. We will take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review for Tuesday, September 22nd, 2020. Please stay tuned.